Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, The Fan, WFAN.
Oh, that's right. Anthony Gallo on The Fan. I've got you all the way till 5 a.m. filling in again for the great Chris McMonagle for two more nights. I've got you. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. I'm in good spirits, even after a disastrous Mets loss. The Yankees give us some hope to hang on to yet again. And we've got a couple of Jets trades as we inch closer to the NFL season. But we start, which should have been another night. You know, I was on a good run here. You know, four straight nights of positivity. And tonight, I can't do it. After the Mets go out there and give us a disastrous performance, an embarrassing performance against a minor league team, against a team with one good batter, against a team with pitchers that, unless you play fantasy baseball, let's be honest, you have no idea who any of these guys are. And I'll start first with Kodai Senga. You know, I've been a Kodai Senga defender. I've sat here, you know, multiple times and tried to tell you that this guy has the stuff to be a great pitcher. And yes, he is talented, but he lacks the moxie. He lacks the mental fortitude to carry this team at times when they need it. And tonight, they needed him to carry it. We're not asking him to anchor the staff every week. But tonight, they needed a legit start from him. And one mistake, and it all goes down the drain. One mistake, and he folds very quickly. They're going nowhere if this guy has to pitch meaningful baseball games down the stretch. And yes, I do believe he has all the talent in the world. But anytime they need a big start from him, and tonight was a big start. I don't care if it's against the Washington Nationals. When the Phillies win and the Reds are right on your heels, it doesn't matter who the opponent is. You have to go out there and get the job done. And again, he falls on his face. And unlike the guy who we'll get to tonight, Sean Manaea, who we can explain some of his struggles away to his injury, you know, pitching with the loose body in his elbow, Kodai Senga does not have that excuse. You know, last year we saw him for one start and a couple of opening, you know, pseudo starts in the playoffs. And that was because he wasn't 100%. And this guy needed 100% to be on the mound. And this year, sure, I'm sure he's not 100%, but he's not dealing with an arm issue. He makes one mistake, and the guy turns into a head case and gets teed off by a minor league team. That is a team with eight automatic outs in it. So whether it's his actual playing on the field or the fact you can't rely on his health, Kodai Senga is too inconsistent to be relied on. And unfortunately, the Mets need to rely on him. He has yet to show once in his Mets tenure that he could show up and have a major start. And I'm sorry. Like, you make a mistake, fine. But this guy makes one mistake and unravels. The sky is falling the second there is a hiccup. You know, in Milwaukee, three starts ago, it's a missed ground ball by him, and the wheels come off. Tonight, it's a bad strike call, which everyone deals with. The Mets got their fair share of the benefit of the doubt with strike calls like the Mullins, which should have been strike three with the bases loaded, and he gets another chance. It gives you nothing. Over his last seven starts, since Kodai Senga's been back, he's given up seven homers. He's got a 5.23 ERA. He's given up 18 earned runs. He's been awful. Outside of one or two starts, and one of those starts is that start in Milwaukee, where, yes, The numbers did not indicate a terrible start, but the results were not what the Mets needed. So you go out there and you trot this guy out there and he cannot get the job done. He can't pick up the offense, and then the offense can't pick him up. And that's the other issue. The Mets have a Kodai Senga issue. And it sucks to do this because, you know, they were trending in the right direction, in my opinion. But yet again, they go out there and have a letdown. They battle back. They show a little bit of fortitude. But earlier in that game, you know, the first four innings, they had multiple opportunities to come through. And then you have the inning with the bases loaded and less than two outs. Mendoza allows Senga to pitch to Josh Bell, which maybe he shouldn't have even been in that situation. But it doesn't matter. This guy should be relied on to get the job done. And he can't be. So now they have a Kodai Senga issue. And then the Mets have an offense that does not get the job done when they need it most. An unclutch, uninspiring, in crunch time offense. The big four guys are going, sure. Soto's on his way to actually a really good season. Alonso's having an amazing season. Lindor's red hot. And this is not an individual thing about any of those guys. It is the entire unit. You know, Vientos starting to hit a little bit, giving you something. And, you know, he does get, you know, a double today, so he keeps that going. But, you know, Beatty hits the home run, but his previous at-bat, he doesn't get the job done. And they continue to let you down in the biggest moments. I understand they scored four runs tonight, and they shouldn't be the focal point of my ire. But between Senga not being able to pick his team up in a moment that they need him to pick the team up, and then the offense turning around and not being able to come through with multiple opportunities, it's almost more frustrating. You know, you know, there's part of me that wants to say, you know, they battled tonight and they had the opportunities, they didn't come through. But when you have a season of not coming through in these opportunities, it's tough to give them that benefit of the doubt. It's almost would have been easier to just lay the blame all on Senga if there were no opportunities for this team to come back. But that wasn't the case. Multiple chances with guys in scoring position. Twice Torrens left runners at scoring position with two outs. Beatty did it once, obviously the double earlier in the game prior to the home run. They leave five guys on base. They're 2-for-7 with runners in scoring position. And if that's, you know, 2-for-7, you're like, ah, that's pretty good for this Mets team. And it's awful when you look at just a major league offense. So tonight has now turned into a must win. You have to win this series. I've been saying it for the last 3 days. You have to go out there and win these series. You cannot go 3-3. You know, you go 1-2 against the Nationals and you take the series against the Braves. I'm not going to feel any better just because they won a series against the Braves. You have to win tonight and take 2 out of 3 minimum this weekend.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And tonight, with Shawman and I on the mound, not 100%, is now a must win. The Reds give you a gift tonight by losing to a terrible Angels team. And, you know, you can almost thank Jose Peraza, former Yankee, for that. But you go out there tonight. You get a gift. You could have gained a game on the Reds. And I know you're not thinking about that in the moment. You're just thinking about winning the game. But they didn't do that. So you sit there a game above the Reds. You gain no ground. Again, another loss by a team you're competing with, and you gain no ground. You lose ground to the Phillies, the Cubs, the Padres. And the cycle continues. And yeah, I will forgive Senga's performance, but I will forgive tonight's performance as a whole from the Mets. If they go out there and take this series from the Nationals and keep pushing forward. Because here's the key is, this team hasn't been, you know, it's one thing if we're looking at a team that hasn't been playing putrid baseball since the beginning of June, specifically June 13th. You could forgive a hiccup like this if you didn't have the lack of confidence that they're going to be able to come back and you know, get back in the winning mindset, take the step in the right direction. Look at the Yankees. They got punched in the mouth tonight, and they punched back. The Mets lack that right now. If they're not blowing teams out, they're not winning games. And that is unsustainable. They have they are completely different from what they were last year. A team that battled in every game and won how many one-run games and battled back. If this team, this is a front-running team. If they don't blow you out, they are not winning games. Every one of their wins in August has been a blowout outside of the Nolan McLean start. And no, it's not just a pitching thing. At times, the offense has to get the job done. At times, you have to show a little bit of fortitude in close games. Because the bullpen did its job tonight. Rodgers came in, got them out of a jam. They went out there, put up zeros. And the offense couldn't come through. You know, whether it's early on, leaving guys on base, or not being able to come through in the sixth inning to drive in a run. I think it was the sixth. You know, Torrens grounding out at the end of the game, absolutely crushing me. And, you know, disagreed a little bit with Fleeg's pre-show as we were talking about it. I'm sorry. Like, I can't see Torrens in that spot. I can't do it. And you can't, it's not on Torrens that they lost this game, but you can't go up there consistently in moments that you need a big hit. Cedric Mullins, they traded for him. He's got to come through there. Somebody has to come through. And obviously, you know, Torrens right after that. Somebody has to come through there. And you have that moment. You know, there's a couple times where the ball's been being hit hard. You know, I forget which inning, it might have been the fifth inning where, you know, Beatty gets that run in, they get another hit, and then there's the ball rocketed at Josh Bell, and he makes a great play. Fine. But a lot of these at-bats in big moments are pitiful. The Beatty at-bat when Vientos on second earlier in the game, the Mullins at-bat later in the game, and you got to hope that we start getting a little lucky, and when these moments are coming up, we're running into Lindor, Soto, or Alonso. And now you may be out with Nimmo for a while. So Vientos and Mauricio are going to get their time. If Nimmo misses, let's just say it's short, and he misses the Atlanta series, tonight and the Atlanta series. I'm sure McNeil plays left field. Maybe they throw Marte out there for one game. And then you're going to have Beatty at second or Mauricio at second. And then Vientos and whoever else sharing time at third. And right now, you got to play the hot hand. You got to play Vientos. I know his numbers aren't like gaudy, but he's got a hit. He's got an extra base hit in three straight games. You got to keep playing him. And the problem is, as much as I'm saying you got to pinch hit with Mauricio for Torrens at the end of the game, it's not like I'm expecting confidence there. I'm just hoping that you don't ground into a double play and you give Lindor a chance to tie this thing up when he's going right. And you know he was chomping at the bit you know, they challenged that call at the end of the game just to, they had the challenge, why waste it? So you're sitting there and you're hoping, and Lindor's standing in the batter's box praying that maybe the umps blow this one and they say the guy wasn't out. And they don't get a chance. They're not competitive in major moments. And yes, right now, overall, they feel like they're trending in the right direction. But a loss like tonight just takes the wind out of your sails. It just takes all momentum. So they have to, Manaea has to go out there and give you a big start against a crappy team. And the fact that I can't bank on it is a terrible feeling. And they have a gauntlet of a stretch. You know, they get a little bit of a gift with this end of August schedule, but it's not like your next three series. The Braves are a bad team that play good against you. The Phillies are a great team. The Marlins are a team that's, you know, middle of the road, but they are not a team that you should could just walk all over. This Nationals team should be a team that you're teeing off on. So as much as I want to be excited about the Mets, and their offense has been way more consistent than it hasn't been, you know, June and July, it doesn't feel like it's the same offense. It has been more consistent. You know, they've scored less than four runs a handful of times. They've scored six runs, seven of their last 16 games. But it's not good enough. And you drop another one against a crappy Nationals team. A team that they have one guy over at 800 OPS. They have two guys, if you want to give them the benefit of the doubt, that are productive major league hitters. And that's not who killed them tonight. You know, Woods hasn't done anything. Abrams hasn't done anything. You know, I don't want to just crush Josh Bell, but he is washed up at this point. You know, he's hit 229. You know, at one point he was a beast. He's not that anymore. And it's just another in a long line of Kodai Senga disappointments. So you recalibrate and you hope that tonight they go out there and they get the job done. You know, on the other side, it is refreshing to see the Yankees get the job done and continue to mash and they continue to stay hot. And they gain another game on the Mariners and they gain another game on the Blue Jays and they gain another game on the Astros. And they gain a half game on the Red Sox. They didn't play today. So tonight is as must win against a under 500 team at the end of August that you could have. Tonight is, you know, mid-August against a team with 75 losses. It's the most must-win a situation can ever be. And that's where the Mets sit. Facing this Nationals team, and you feel like you have this daunting task. And now Sean Manaea has to go out there, loose bodies and all, and get the job done.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.